السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ. الحمد للہ وکفا والصلاة والسلام علی سیدنا المصطفی صلی اللہ علیہ وعلی آلہ واصحابہ وبارک وسلم تسلیما کثیرا کثیرا. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ما يفعل الله بعذابكم إن شكرتم وآمنتم صدق الله العظيم. علماء الكرام, most respected brothers and also sisters at the madrasa, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala with his fazal and with his ihsan brought me back safely from the trip to Zambia. It is only Allah ta'ala's fazal and ihsan that we were able to have so many programs there in the short period of time that I was there. You can't make enough shukr of Allah ta'ala. So therefore, in tonight's majlis, what I want to bring to your attention is this, that I did mention in one of the earlier majlises that Hazrat Maulana Dr. Abdul Hayy Rahmatullah Ali had given a simple prescription for these days, for weak people like us, that you must do four things. Besides, of course, all the other amal, ibadat, whatever we have to do, we have to do. But together with that, four simple things that make plenty of shukr on the ni'mats of Allah Ta'ala, make sabr on any kind of difficulty, hardship and problem, make plenty of istighfar and tawbah, and make istiaza, seek protection from in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala from any kind of harm or difficulty or trial coming. These were the four simple things that we have to do. It does not require any kind of expenditure, it doesn't take any kind of effort. Shukr we can make in the heart, sabr we can make in the heart, istighfar we can make in the heart, and isti'aza we can make in the heart. So simple and easy. I recall having discussed that in some detail, but what I want to discuss tonight is a dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which also I think I did discuss some years ago or a year ago, Allah ta'ala knows when, or whether it was in the Jummah Bayan or in the Majlis. But I wish to repeat that now after the return from this trip. And that is that wherever we travel out, whether it is in India or Pakistan or South Africa or any of the African countries or across our borders in Lesotho, or if a person has to go to Uganda or he has to go to Zambia or Zimbabwe, any place in the world that you go, you will always find somebody or the other giving you some story of how he was blessed with plentiful of ni'mats and then suddenly it was snatched away. You will always find somebody you will find that the person will relate his story. He will tell you with deep hearted pain that this was my condition. Allah Ta'ala had blessed me with plentiful of ni'mats. I was having a wonderful life. I had a wonderful home, a wonderful wife, wonderful children, wonderful business, and then suddenly everything went. We always get these type of stories. Not only in these countries, but if you go to Saudi Arabia, then they too, sometimes you meet up with people who have settled there, but they are people from Russia, or they are people there from Burma, and they are residents there now in Madina Sharif for a long, long time. They too will give you the same stories, that we were in Burma and this is what happened. Our ni'mats were snatched away. So it becomes important that we listen to this dua of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, and we make it a habit of reading the dua with sincerity, with ikhlas, and we beg of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala for protection of those ni'mats. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam in that dua, he says, Allahumma inni a'uzu bika min zawali ni'matik O Allah, I seek protection in you from zawal coming upon my ni'mats, vanishing of those ni'mats, disappearance of those ni'mats, snatching away of those ni'mats, loss of those ni'mats. So I ask Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala for protection. Allahumma inni a'uzu bika min zawali ni'matik. You and I have been blessed with so much of ni'mats of Allah ta'ala. So many bayans you have heard already on shukr and on ni'mats. But that is the only way that we can get to appreciate Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's ni'mats. That we recall these ni'mats, we ponder over it, we meditate, we reflect, we think how much of ni'mats Allah ta'ala has blessed us with. Now always when we talk of zawal of ni'mat, then our mind goes on to wealth, property, gold, silver. Dead stop. We don't seem to think of other ni'mats. And this is what kept coming into my mind since this morning, that's why I'm repeating this dua. That there are many, many ni'mats that Allah Ta'ala has blessed us with, which we just don't even think that they are ni'mats until they are snatched away. Now I was just thinking that in this trip, morning, afternoon, evening, late night, there's so much of different programs. So there's the ni'mat of health. What a great ni'mat it is. That if Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala does not give a person health, then he cannot undertake these type of programs. Or any other activity of life, health is such a great ni'mat. So the person is asking Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala for protection of that ni'mat of health. That, O Allah, protect this ni'mat of health. Don't let zawal come upon this ni'mat. Of course, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala in His hikmat, in His wisdom, and sometimes to give certain stages to people, sometimes for the forgiveness of sins, or for sometimes because of that person's own indulgence in the wrong kinds of food, and no exercise, sickness and ill health does come. But the thing is that it is a ni'mat over which we do not ponder. When the person has got health, then he thinks that now I am in control of my physical body, so I can indulge in whatever I wish to. But then suddenly Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala snatches it away. There is a disappearance of that ni'mat. There is an accident, or there is some other kind of problem that the person suffers a mental problem, suffers some problem with his heart, liver, lung, kidneys, and the person's health is gone. When that ni'mat is snatched away, then only we begin appreciating it. So we are asking Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala for protection, that He must not allow us to suffer any kind of calamity. There must be no loss, there must be no disappearance and no vanishing of those ni'mats. Sometimes a person works very hard and he accumulates a lot of wealth and a lot of money. And then he is going to the bank and next thing the person returns from there crying. What happened? He said, just at the door of the bank, a gun on the head and the money was gone. Now the person's hard earned sweat money, but suddenly it is gone. Completely gone. Sometimes the person locks his shop, he puts the alarms on, and he's got a security guard outside, and the next morning he suddenly receives a call, or late part of the night, that there has been a burglary and everything has been wiped out. The person works very hard, then he decides that now I must have a grand wedding for my daughter. So he gives her plenty of jewelry. She receives plenty of gifts. And these are not stories. These are things which have happened. And then she just moves over to the house of her husband. And the next morning we hear that late night the burglars came in. They were held up at gunpoint and everything was wiped out. Clean. The house was cleaned out. 500,000 rand worth of jewelry, gifts and other things including new furniture that had come, was loaded onto the truck and everything was gone. At wedding celebrations, there were hold-ups. And those women who had attended that wedding, we know that they are not going to attend with their fingers without rings and with their wrists without bangles. So the gold jewelry, the diamonds, they were held up in that same room, in the house, whilst they were just on their way to the hall, and everything wiped out. So these type of things can happen to anybody. We don't say that only the person is sinful, then it happens. It can happen to anybody. It can be a test for people. The Allahwalas can also be tested in that manner. Hold-ups, murders, killings, accidents. So I'm not saying that it is an azab of Allah Ta'ala all the time. We must not conclude that it is an azab. But it definitely shakes up the person's life and all his plannings, whatever he had, they come to a naught. So therefore Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, Allahumma inni a'uzu bika min zawali ni'mati. Then sometimes the person only thinks in terms of material things, ni'mats. Whereas his ibadat, his namaz, his zikr, his tilawat, the tawfiq that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gives him to attend the majlises of deen and waaz and nasihat, the tawfiq that Allah ta'ala gives him to make sometimes ishraq, chash, awwabin, sometimes tahajjud salat, different kinds of ni'mats Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gives. Now this person does not appreciate that as a ni'mat of Allah ta'ala, and then indulges in other sins, and then that ni'mat is snatched away. Allah ta'ala takes it away. And we get many people, then they tell you that, Maulana, for many years I was making this ibadat, and suddenly now I don't wish to make it at all. I just cannot get the courage to make it. So many even go sliding to such an extent that they say that now we are neglecting our farz namazes also. They were making tahajjud, ishraq and chasht, and now they cannot make farz namazes. So many, they say, now we are neglecting our farz namazes. We can't seem to get up for fajr, we can't seem to be making zuhr or isha. So the person's ni'mats are being taken away. So even that we must have in mind when we are saying, Allahumma inni a'uzu bika min zawali ni'matik, that Allah, oh Allah, don't take away these ni'mats also which you have blessed me with. The ni'mat of zikr, of tilawat, of ibadat. So whether it is the ni'mat of health, the ni'mat of sight, the ni'mat of hearing, the ni'mat of speech, then again there's a ni'mat of knowledge that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gives. Doesn't mean that everybody is a great alim or a mufti or a qari, but people in different professions have different types of knowledge. Now all that knowledge is connected with the brain. Everything is in the brain. Now one stroke and the person's knowledge is gone. He was proud about his knowledge. There's no lawyer like me. There's no architect like me. There's no engineer like me. There's no scientist like me. There's no inventor like me. And then after that, suddenly, one stroke and everything is gone. So much so that the person sometimes even forgets his own name. And this has happened again to even great ulama, great buzrugs, great walis of Allah Ta'ala. But there is a world of difference. That for those for whom it is an azab, it brings nothing but restlessness. It brings restlessness in their lives. Complaint about Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. No kind of tranquility or sukoon in their hearts. And when the Allah wala suffer such kind of disasters in their lives, it brings them more closer to Allah ta'ala. It gives them such a link and connection and bond with Allah ta'ala that we do not even know of. As many times you have heard, their condition is like that rose which blooms in the midst of thorns. There are thorns around it, but there's a rose that's blooming inside. That means inside their heart, they've got tafweez. So therefore Allah Ta'ala gives them sukoon. But the fact is that it can happen to anybody. So we make dua, Allahumma inni a'uzu bika min zawali ni'matik. That we are asking Allah Ta'ala for protection of even that knowledge that Allah Ta'ala has given, in whichever field it may be. A person is an accountant, or a person is a manager of some business, or a person is in some responsible position in some profession, or in some factory or industry, Each and every one requires that particular knowledge in that field. If he doesn't have that knowledge, he will be booted out, he will be kicked out. He will be thrown out of his job. He will be fired and dismissed. So he requires that expertise, he requires that knowledge to remain with him. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is the only one who can guarantee that. No insurance company can guarantee that. Which insurance company can guarantee a person that that brain of his will keep functioning? That if you pay so many $1,000 or rands as premium, then we will keep your brain functioning all the time. There will be no disaster, there will be no tumor that will strike your brains. Can any insurance company guarantee that? Can any insurance company guarantee that our heart, liver and lungs will never fail? That our kidney will never stop flushing? That we won't have to go for dialysis? Who can guarantee that? Yes, they can pay the bills of the hospital, but they cannot guarantee you that this health of yours will remain in that condition. That zawal of ni'mat will not come. So when does this zawal of ni'mat come? When we show no appreciation for those ni'mats, and when we indulge generally now. When we indulge in haram, or we make kufran of those ni'mats, we show ingratitude to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala takes away that ni'mat. The person is earning, but now he's not concerned about halal, haram. He's not concerned about namaz times. His only object is just money. So as a result, a time comes when suddenly everything is gone. So the person asks Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala for protection. Oh Allah, I'm asking you for protection. Because you are the only one who can give that kind of protection. Not the insurance companies or the security companies. Those in the security companies are a means of protecting that property. They're only a means. But in these days we know that the very means that we adopt for the protection of those properties, they become the means of stealing that property. The means that we adopted for the protection of that property become the means of stealing that property. They are the ones who know exactly what time you come and what time you go, and what is in that property, and how to organize a theft of your valuable wealth. A point comes to mind that in the time of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam also, the Sahaba-i Kiram radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajmain, they used to guard Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he did not require guards. But to show us that it is a means, that if you have to have a guard, there's nothing wrong. As Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu and others used to guard. So what we have to learn from that is that who used to guard Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam? Which kind of people used to guard? Did he employ a security guard? Did Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam employ some security guard who is a total stranger to him? Who he doesn't even know? Some company just sends him as a security guard? Or did he have those people who did not ask for any money? They were those who were fida over him. Those who would have given their lives, but they would not have allowed any kind of harm to come to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now that should have been the sifat of a guard. The sifat of a guard should be that the person will give his life, but he will not allow the person that he is guarding to be harmed in any way. That means to the best of his ability he will try. And unlike our security guards at most of our factories and premises, if they can help it, then they will organize the murder of the owner of the premises. They will organize it. The security companies which have transporting our valuables and our thousands from one place to another, who is involved most of the time in those holdups? So we are asking Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala for protection because He is the one who truly and really protects. We can adopt the means and we should adopt the means. There's nothing wrong. But those means are merely those means are merely a means of giving us some sort of satisfaction. Those means which we adopt are merely means of giving us some sort of satisfaction that there is some kind of guard, that there is some kind of security, that there is some kind of alarm system and burglar guard that we have. That's all. It gives us some sort of satisfaction. But it does not mean that they will protect. It does not mean that. If Allah Ta'ala removes that security, then that protection will be gone. So Allahumma inni a'uzu bika min zawali ni'matik. Allah Ta'ala has blessed us with different kinds of ni'mats. Then again, children, if they are growing up and they are on the right track, they are going to madrasa, school, and coming back home and doing their homework and obedient, then that's a great ni'mat of Allah Ta'ala in these days. Now the person, if he appreciates that as a ni'mat, and he keeps those children away from those things which will damage their morals and their health, then Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will make them grow up to be obedient all their lives. But if this person whose children are growing up obedient, and they are disciplined, and they are seeking knowledge, and they are making amal, but the father and the mother, they want to pump all kind of haram into their system, they are not appreciating this great ni'mat, so they are dosing them with haram, or they are being poisoned with the filthy films that they are watching on television, or the videos which they are bringing into their houses and the children are watching. One father beat up his 8-year-old daughter very, very badly. And why did he beat her up? Because it was not his habit to return home at about 4 o'clock. But he just returned home at 4 o'clock. He had to pick up some documents. And when he came there, he found his 8-year-old daughter with another 2 or 3 school girls that they were watching porn film in the house. So he beat his daughter up and he chased the others out. And after that, what? The person is crying because he was reported for child abuse. But if you have to really ask, who is the person that had the TV there, who had the recorder there, and who had that porn movie or video in his cupboard? Did that 8-year-old girl bring it from somewhere, or did he provide it for her? He would have thought, or he thought, that he is hiding it in his cupboard. But she must have come across it. So this is the thing, that that child would have been growing up without that filth. But we are unconcerned and we want to give them that poison because our nafs is not satisfied without that poison. So for the satisfaction of our nafs, we bring all those things, and then the evil and the harm, everyone in the house suffers. Now when that child is going to become disobedient, disrespectful, and when that child is going to become a rebel and could even go on drugs and vices, so it means that that ni'mat Allah Ta'ala had given has been snatched away. There's a zawal in that ni'mat. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala caused that ni'mat of that upbringing in a disciplined manner to vanish, finish. So it is not only zawal of ni'mat that we think that some money, some gold, some silver, another thing is gone. The person's morals, the person's character, in everything there can be a zawal. A person was very gentle, very polite, and suddenly now he becomes so temperamental that his wife begins to fear him, his children begin to fear him, his customers and clients, they say, don't ever deal with this person. He's got a terrible temper. His staff complain of him. So there's a zawal. That ni'mat of politeness, that ni'mat of tawazu, that ni'mat of sympathy and compassion, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala took it away because this person did not appreciate that ni'mat. So Allahumma inni a'uzu bika min zawali ni'matik. We can go on with that. Wa tahawwul afiyatik. Tahawwul of afiyat is this, that way we say that there is a roundabout, or there is a reversal, or there is a complete change. or complete turnabout of that afiat. One is that the person was going to the bank and his money was snatched. He was held up and the money was taken away. So that is zawal of his ni'mat. And the tahawul of that afiat is that the person was in good health. So the burglars or the thieves or the hijackers, they didn't only take away that car or they didn't only take away that money, but they beat him up also. Sometimes they cracked the person's skull. And these days they have become so merciless and so beastly and so animal-like that it means nothing to take away the life. So the person is beaten up. He lands himself in the hospital. Now he cannot talk, he cannot move, his hands, his feet are all plastered and bandaged. So that is the tahawul of the afiyat. So you're asking Allah Ta'ala for protection from even that. That, oh Allah, do not take away this afiyat, do not change it now to disaster. One is just the ni'mat going, but here now there is a suffering that is this person will have to undergo. Sometimes it is a trauma that the person has to suffer for a long, long time. There's a tahawul of the afiyat. The person is to sleep comfortably, is to sleep peacefully, is to watch his videos till midnight or past midnight or till early in the morning, and is to think that I'm very fit and I'm healthy and there's nothing happening. Everything seems to be going well for me. And if anybody asks him also, he says, oh wonderful, these days the business is very good too and everything is going very well. There's no need for real namaz or anything like that because everything seems to be going very well. Now suddenly now after that murder, after that killing in the home, or after that snatching away, or after that hijacking, or after that hold up, now there's trauma. Now the person has to go and see psychiatrists, he's got to see so many taweez walas and for amaliyats and so many things now he's got to do. No sleep, sleep is gone. We all have been through such type of things. Our families have been through such type of things. And we know that how long it takes before that fright and that fear leaves the heart. So tahawul of that afiyat. You're asking Allah Ta'ala for protection from that. Don't be proud of any of the ni'mat that Allah Ta'ala gives. Always make shukar of that ni'mat. Pride is a killer disease. The person shows off with those ni'mats that there's no one like me. Then Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala also has the power to snatch it away because he's trying to snatch the chadar and the rida of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, which is pride. So whosoever will try to do that, Allah Ta'ala will destroy him. So if we travel out in the world, we will see the conditions. And very recent happenings we can see just across our borders what happened in the African countries, what happened in Burma, what happened in Afghanistan, what happened in America itself, that those people were sleeping very peacefully, they thought, and they thought they had the best security in the system in the world, and that nobody could bring the war to America, and now their sleep is gone. They're so scared and frightened that even if you have one small little penknife in your bag, then it will be confiscated. So much so that even a nail clipper was confiscated. Scissors, the smallest scissors with which you cannot even clip one small nail, but that too is confiscated. Look what kind of fear Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala put into their hearts. And how much more they have to now spend. Billions and billions are being spent now in security. And still it's not peaceful for them. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala takes away. So we are asking Allah Ta'ala that he must not change that afiyat into some kind of bala now, some musibat, some difficulty, some hardship that will remain for a long, long time now. So that is the tahawul of that afiyat. Without going into details, then we go on to the next part. وَفُجَاءَتِ نِقْمَتِكَ. And the sudden coming, suddenly, some calamity, some disaster, some hardship, some problem, and it can also be translated as a heavy blow. Niqma This one meaning of that is also a heavy blow. That a heavy blow comes suddenly on a person. One is where the person's business starts going down slowly, slowly, slowly. So he says, well, business is dropping, 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 and then he says, close down. And the other one is suddenly something happens. The whole shop is burnt. Or suddenly the taxman clamps down and everything that this person has earned over the years is gone. Or the sudden coming of disease. So many people, they say suddenly. And heart attacks are just like that. Which heart attack really announces that I'm coming tomorrow? Suddenly. But again, as I say, that for those who are close to Allah Ta'ala, it is a means of gaining even more closeness. But for us, because we are extremely weak and sinful, so we must not put ourselves in that category. We must ask Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala for protection. And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is making this dua and teaching the ummah that this is a very difficult thing when suddenly something happens, suddenly. And most of the places in the world, that is what has happened. That it happened overnight, suddenly. Least expected. Within seconds the conditions changed. Within seconds. The people were millionaires and billionaires 1 minute, and second minute they are paupers and beggars, or they are refugees. Those who were dishing out charities and giving plentiful of hampers and doing all kinds of spending, and they were spending upon themselves and their families and in their luxuries and in their lavish weddings and walimas, now suddenly they become muhtaj and in need of even a small piece of bread. We must ask Allah Ta'ala for protection. We don't know what lies in future. All those people, if you have to go and ask them, they will say that we never expected that it will happen. Which person will tell you that he expected that it was going to happen? They say, we were never expected it will happen. The burning of all those shops across of our borders and millionaires becoming paupers, what do they say? We never expected it. It just happened like that. In San Francisco, we know that in the riot time, millions or billions were burnt. What happened? Suddenly it happened. In India, what happened? They said, suddenly it happened. There was just some incident, one train coach was burnt by some people, and then suddenly there were riots, and then we get over 1 million people who become homeless, and thousands of people losing their lives. It's a different thing that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala forgives the sins, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala gives them sabar, Allah Ta'ala sometimes raises their status and position when they make that sabar, all that is a different thing. But we are not ready for calamities and hardships and problems, so we must ask Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala for protection. We are not so powerful and so strong that we can challenge Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's might. So suddenly things happen. A person told me this story on Friday morning at the breakfast table. Breakfast time on the dastarkhan. So he was telling me that my first wife, says I went over to London. There was a wedding there. So that wedding, he says, I was, after staying 1 or 2 days or whatever number of days, then he says, I was taking my wife to go to that place where the wedding was going to take place, the family's house. So on the way, suddenly she held her neck and she says, I'm getting a terrible pain. So what is happening? She says, I don't know, it's a terrible pain. And next thing, like, she collapses, rushed her to the hospital and she passed away. Now the marriage, the wedding is taking place and she passed away. He got such a shock that he got a heart attack. He had to be hospitalized. He underwent some bypasses. Now he says, Alhamdulillah, Allah has given me health again and has blessed me with another good wife. But the lesson that we take from these type of incidents, that the people suddenly depart from this world. We have got no knowledge of what's going to happen. Absolutely no knowledge. So, fujaati niqmati. Ask Allah Ta'ala for protection. Sudden calamities, sudden disasters, sudden pain, sudden problem. Sometimes the pain becomes so severe suddenly that the person says, I just cannot take it. I would rather die than suffering this pain. Because the doctors also cannot find what the cause of the pain is. So we ask Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala for protection from that. وَجَمِيعِ سَخَطِ And from the anger and the wrath of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, any kind of anger of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala and wrath, we ask Allah Ta'ala to protect us. Because if Allah Ta'ala gets angry, if Allah Ta'ala becomes annoyed, if Allah Ta'ala becomes displeased, if Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala turns away His glance of rahmat and mercy because of our persistence in sins, our indulgence without concern, our ghaflat and negligence, when we make Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala angry, and if Allah Ta'ala unleashes His wrath and anger, then that is disaster. So we are asking Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala to protect us from His anger. Again, I repeat the dua of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, in which, what did he say? Allahumma inni as'aluka ridaaka wal jannah wa a'udhu bika min sakhatika wal nar. O Allah, I seek your rida and your pleasure. And then he says, I seek jannat. But first the pleasure and the rida of Allah Ta'ala. Brothers, make Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala happy. Take a few steps towards Allah Ta'ala. Wallah, I'm telling you, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is so merciful, so forgiving. You will never find any mother or father or any friend or anyone so. Or the entire humanity put together cannot show such compassion and mercy and forgiveness as Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala shows. Look at His tolerance. Each and every one of us, if we have to just peep into our hearts and see our conditions, and what kinds of sins we are indulging in the darkness of nights or in the light of day, which wrong and haram places we are visiting, or those who are in garbs of piety, what kind of sins we are engaging in secrecy and in our private lives, then it is only Allah Ta'ala who is tolerating that. It is only the tolerance and the hilm of Allah Ta'ala. Therefore it is said that in these days, repeat plentiful, Ya Halimu, Ya Kareem, Ya Halimu, Ya Kareem. It is only the hilm of Allah Ta'ala, the tolerance of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, that He does not unleash His anger. He does not punish us straight away. He gives us a rope, He gives us chance, He gives us time. He gives us opportunities to return towards Him. So take a few steps towards Him and Allah Ta'ala will make the balance of the road easy. So jamiya sakhatik. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, O Allah, I seek your rida. And then he says, Jannat. And he says, O Allah, I seek protection from your ghazab, from your anger, from your sakhat, from your anger, and then from Jahannam. Showing clearly that the anger of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, it is worse than the azab of Jahannam. Now if we cannot take the azab of Jahannam, where can we take the anger of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala? Now read after that all those incidents of Hazrat Lut alayhi salatu wasalam's people and Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam's people and all those other nations of the past, people of Hazrat Shoaib, what kind of azab came upon them when Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala became angry, that these people are not repenting, they're not making tawbah, they're not making istighfar. So ask Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala for protection. So Allahumma inni a'uzu bika min zawali ni'matik wa tahawwuli afiyatik wa fujaati niqmatik wa jami'i sakhatik. So it is not a difficult paper, it is simple, it is easy. Please Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. And in pleasing Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, we are not deprived of the ni'mats of this world. Now what a beautiful deen it is. That it is not that you deprive yourself of the ni'mats of this world in trying to gain the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. Did Allah Ta'ala mention in the Quran Sharif anywhere that you must not eat good food, or you must not wear good clothes, or you must not travel in good modes of transport? Are we told that you mustn't marry because it's a desire of the nafs? You'll be fulfilling your passion, so that's why you mustn't make nikah. Are we told that we must not maintain cleanliness of the body and clothes? We must stay dirty and filthy because the nafs will get some kind of happiness if you are clean. Nothing of that nature. All the good things of this world, each and every item which Allah Ta'ala has made halal, He has made halal for the believers so that they appreciate His ni'mats, so that they make use of these ni'mats and think of the ni'mats of Jannat. But of course, it must be within the parameters of Sharia, and there must not be such indulgence that it creates ghaflat. Unfortunately, our indulgence creates ghaflat. But if the person is doing it in the proper way, then his tijarat, his business, his profession, his farming, his industry, nothing is haram. It just depends how he operates it. So in trying to make Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala happy, it is not something that is impossible. It's not something that is very difficult. Allah Ta'ala has not imposed upon us such kind of obligations which we cannot bear. لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها. So Allah Ta'ala will not burden us with something that we cannot do. So it is something that we can do, and that is the suppression of this nafs, the nafs, the desires of the nafs. Now you go anywhere in the world, this is the problem, that people are finding it extremely difficult to suppress the nafs. Everybody wants freedom, that's all. They must be free from all kinds of shackles. There must be no obligation or responsibility that you must obey Allah Ta'ala. And the mizaj of man is such too, that those few things that Allah Ta'ala will prohibit, that's the thing that he wants to enjoy. That in which he himself knows that there's nothing but harm, there is nothing but evil, there's nothing but destruction, there's nothing but creation of restlessness, anxieties and worries, but the person wants to indulge in that. So much they read about what is happening and what are the harms of zina and adultery and fornication, but still there is no such thing as you must restrain yourself. Restraining is not in the dictionaries. There's no such thing as restraining. In fact, one Muslim lecturer at one university, he told the pupils, he says that the cause of depression is when you deprive yourself of some desire that comes into your heart. So large number of Muslims these days are depressed, especially at universities when they are studying. Now they are with girls there, so the desire comes to engage in some sort of illicit relationship. Now Islam says that that is haram. So a great pain comes on the heart and it creates depression. In the same way, other sins he listed, that these are things which create depression, because the person is not going forward, is not fulfilling that desire of his. So there's a pressure on his heart and that is causing the depression. Na'uzu billahi min zalim. And the person is a Muslim lecturer. Wallah, I'm telling you the truth. In the masjid, whereas that the cause of the depression is those sins, if the person had to close his eyes from haram, I don't mean he must go with blindfold there, but if he lowers his gaze from haram, he does not watch those TVs and those videos and those movies, those movies which are projecting and glorifying all the time zina and adultery and fornication and drink and drugs and haram, so then no evil desires will come. Or even if some desire comes, it will be easy to suppress it. So then the depression will go away. So the cause of the depression are those sins. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's promise that He will make the person's life miserable is being fulfilled. وَمَنْ أَعْرَضَ عَنْ ذِكْرِي فَإِنَّ لَهُ مَعِيشَةً ظَنْكَ. The person who turns away from my remembrance, I will make his life narrow, tightened, miserable. So now that is being fulfilled, that the person is studying, he is doing everything, but is, or in any other field, now what the person was saying, that now he is withholding himself from sins, so that's why depression. Whereas indulgence in those sins is causing that depression. Every day we get letters, Mawlana, I am too depressed. Why? Because this person let me down. He gave me high hopes that he will marry me. 5 years I was out with him, 3 years I was out with him, and some even more. Na'uzu billahi min zalik. So now if it's not going to cause depression, what is it going to cause? So ask Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala for protection of all these ni'mats that Allah Ta'ala has given. If we can't do much ibadat, zikr, tilawat, there's no problem. Do whatever we can. But to restrain ourselves from sins which really causes the pain on our spiritual heart, but in reality that pain brings happiness, it brings satisfaction, it brings peace, it brings tranquility, it brings sukoon, it brings an ocean of noor into that heart, it brings such kind of contentment, such kind of contentment, that the world and everything that it contains and whosoever has it, it causes no kind of problem and no kind of depression and no kind of pain on the one person's heart. No envy, no jealousy. What a wonderful life. So make use of the ni'mats that Allah Ta'ala has given, but make plenty of shukr over those ni'mats and ask Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala to protect those ni'mats. And take that courage. Take those few steps. Which other way can we put it across? There's no words to describe it. You have to do it to experience the pleasure. You cannot explain it in words. As Jalaluddin Rumi Rahmatullah Alayhi says, that when the fragrance of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's muhabbat and his love comes into my heart, then I don't find words in the dictionary to explain that. Person hasn't tasted sweetness and you tell him to get a PhD degree on sweetness, he can write and write and write, but he has to taste what sugar is. May Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala give me, give you, and give the entire ummah the tawfiq of making amal. May Allah Ta'ala protect the ni'mats which he has blessed us with and blessed the ummah with, and Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala must save us from calamities, disasters, sudden snatching away of our ni'mats. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Allahumma salli ala sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala ali sayyidina Muhammadin mubarik wa sallim. Allahumma rabbana atina fid dunya hasanatan wa fil akhirati hasanatan wa qina azaban nar. اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من زوال نعمتك وتحول عافيتك وفجاءة نقمتك وجميع سخطك. اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من زوال نعمتك وتحول عافيتك وفجاءة نقمتك وجميع سخطك. اے اللہ ہمارے گناہوں کو معاف فرما، ہماری خطاؤں کو معاف فرما، ہماری لغزشوں سے درگزر فرما. O Allah, we have not shown appreciation for the ni'mats which you have bestowed upon us. Ya Allah, day and night, your ni'mats are showering upon us. Our sight, our hearing, our speech. O my beloved Allah, such precious ni'mats we have shown no appreciation for. O Allah, the great ni'mat of Iman and Islam which you have blessed us with, we have shown no appreciation for this great ni'mat that you have blessed us without any effort, without any sacrifice. O my beloved Allah, you have given us so much to eat, to drink, to wear. You have provided us with modes of transport so that we can move easily from one place to another. O my beloved Allah, which ni'mat of yours can we make shukr upon? We cannot count your ni'mats, O my beloved Allah. وَإِن تَعُدُّوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا. ہاں میرے اللہ، ہم گندے ہیں، تیری نعمتوں کا غلط ہم نے استعمال کیا. We have abused the ni'mats which you have blessed us with. یا اللہ، ہماری آنکھوں نے ہمیں، ہماری آنکھوں کو غلط جگہوں پر ہم نے استعمال کیا. Our eyes we used incorrectly. Our hearing we used incorrectly. Our speech, oh my beloved Allah, so much of lies, so much of false qasams, so much of evil, O my Allah, with our tongues. Ya Allah, our hands have touched so much of haram. Our feet have walked towards so many haram institutions and places. Mere Allah, if it was not for your hilm, if it was not for your hilm, O my Allah, if it was not for your tolerance, your compassion, your mercy, your forgiveness and your kindness, O Allah, we would have been destroyed. Our ni'mats would have gone. we would have been deprived of every ni'mat of yours. Oh Allah, it is just your hilm, your tolerance, that you are giving us so much of ni'mat in spite of our sins. Ya Allah, but who is there for us that we can turn towards? Ya Allah, we are confessing before you. We are acknowledging that indeed we are sinful servants of yours. But oh my Allah, you dearly love the forgiveness of sins. Therefore forgive our major sins and minor sins.
Amen.
The sins that we committed knowingly or unknowingly. The sins that we committed in the light of day, of darkness, of nights. Ya Allah, protect and safeguard each and every ni'mat that you have blessed us with. Ya Allah, safeguard our eyesight, our hearing, our speech, our heart, liver and lungs, keep them functioning, oh my Allah. Ya Allah, keep our hands, our feet all moving. Ya Allah, do not snatch away any of our ni'mats because of our disobedience to you. Ya Allah, protect us and safeguard us from the tahawwul of our afiyat. Ya Allah, protect us from the sudden coming of calamities, disasters, hardships and problems. Ya Allah, we cannot bear, we cannot tolerate. We are extremely weak servants of yours. We are not like the awliya-i siddiqeen. For them it is a test, oh my Allah. And they have the capacity to take those tests. But oh Allah, do not test us because we are extremely weak. Ya Allah, we will sell away our iman for few miserable coins if hardships have to come. So many people in the world, oh Allah, for a few hampers they have given away their iman and their Islam. Mere Allah, for some beautiful face they have changed the faith. Oye mere Allah, tu hamari hifazat farma. Ya Allah, hamare ilm ki hifazat farma. Amal ki hifazat farma. Maal o daulat ki hifazat farma. Iman o Islam ki hifazat farma. Teri har ni'mat ki hifazat farma. Ey mere pyare khuda, hum sab ko sehat de, afiyat de, salamati de, izzat de. Tera qurb de, teri marifat de. تقوى والی زندگی نصیب فرما توکل والی زندگی نصیب فرما اے اللہ when the time comes for our departure from this world bless us with shahadat in Madinah Tayyiba اے اللہ throughout the world the Muslim Ummah is pareshan throughout the world the Muslim Ummah is suffering all kinds of hardships and problems especially in Palestine in Kashmir in Chechnya Bosnia India Pakistan and so many other parts of the world Ey Allah, remove the difficulties and calamities and problems. Ya Allah, protect them and safeguard them. Ya Allah, give them quwwat, give them your nusrat and your madad and your help. Haramain Sharifain ki hifazat farma, Masjid-e-Aqsa ki hifazat farma, Hamare Masajid Madaris ki hifazat farma, Tabligh ke kaam ki hifazat farma. Ey Allah, tamam dini idaro ki hifazat farma. ربنا تقبل منا انك انت السميع العليم وتب علينا انك انت التواب الرحيم وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمد وآله واصحابه اجمعين برحمتك يا ارحم الراحمين